morning. There's just a few intimations this morning, the usual one. The first one is the one that appears every Sunday. I feel like the air steward, but in the unlikely event of the fire alarm going off during the service, you would leave by that door, by that door. It's okay, you don't need to take your shoes off to get in there. There's the usual tea and coffee after the service that everybody's invited to enjoy. And then it's a rotten winter, almost morning, but winter's really coming because here's the meeting on Tuesday night in the church hall about the Christmas fair. Anyone interested in taking part in the planning of a Christmas fair should meet with us on Tuesday night, 13th, in the Lesser Hall. Then, still keeping with the Christmas theme, you've just changed it, Ross. The pastoral cover for Dave while he's on holiday, the 5th to 11th, he's on the path of renewal, and he really is with a chest infection at the moment. So 18th of August, he's at a candidates conference, and then from the 21st to the 10th of September, he's on holiday. And during these periods, any pastoral matters should be referred to, in the first instance, between the 5th and 11th of August, Brian Murray, and then from the 21st of August right through to the 10th of September to the Reverend Scott Cameron. Then back to Christmas. Tomorrow night is the registration and casting for adult members. So anybody interested in treading the boards at this year's pantomime are asked to meet tomorrow night at 7:30. And then in 2 weeks' time, the junior cast rehearsals, they begin on the Sunday afternoon. So that's Sunday the 25th of August at 1:30. I think those are all the intimations. It only remains for me to welcome a friend of David's, the Reverend Richard Begg. Richard is our guest preacher this morning, and I've said to him he can tell us a bit about himself.
Thank you, and thank you for the warm welcome this morning. I've had two parishes in my ministry so far, and at the moment I'm serving as an army chaplain full-time. Served with the Signals down in Bulford, and I'm now with the Rifles in Edinburgh. And my time at the moment is being spent between the unit and with the tattoo as one of the chaplains there over its duration. So I get to hear the Trinidad and Tobago Steel Band every night, which is awesome. They come onto the Esplanade, and all you see is the one steel drum, and they start playing Amazing Grace. I would recommend watching it on the 27th when it's on BBC One, if you're not there during the time. So my wee marketing plug over. We're here to worship God, and the psalmist says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him from his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with timbrel and dance, praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us this morning praise the Lord as we stand together, if we're able, and sing Mission Praise 1000, King of Kings, Lord, King of Kings Majesty, sorry, number 1000. Let's stand and worship.
Strong.
please be seated. And let's pray. Father God, as we gather here this morning, help each one of us to praise you, to recognize that you are the King of Kings, that you are Majesty. We thank you that you are a gentle Savior, our closest friend, a strong deliverer. You are the beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And yet you welcome each one of us, not only as your children, but as your brothers and your sisters. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father. And as we gather here today, we recognize all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do through your Son, our Lord and Savior, our High Priest who gathers all our worship into himself and makes it perfect to you. And we thank you that he is ascended now and sitting at your right hand side. Be with each one of us this morning as we worship you, as we lay aside all that has happened in the week that has been, and we try not to think about all that is coming in the week ahead, but help each one of us to stop, to be still, and to worship you. For your name is worthy of praise. You are worthy to be praised and given the glory that you desire and you deserve. But Lord, we don't come and we don't gather as perfect people. We gather as broken individuals, recognizing our need for you. And so in this silence now, we bring before you the things that we have done this last week that are not pleasing and honorable to you, whether we've done them in action or we've thought them. Lord, we confess them now to you. Lord, we thank you that you hear our confessions, that you hear all that we have whispered in the silence to you. And we thank you for those words of your Son on the cross, when his arms were outstretched and he cried out to you and said, "It is finished." We thank you that you have dealt with our sins once and for all through the cross. Help us to leave now everything that we've confessed to you at the foot of your cross and not take it from here into the week ahead. But Lord, leave it with you, for you are the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we worship here together as your people, we thank you for the prayer that you taught us to pray when we gather in, or even on our own, as we say together now the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Grand. How many of you like playing with water? Not fire, water. Yeah? Not when it's coming down out the sky like we seem to have had forever and a day recently. But I need some volunteers. Not that I'm looking at anyone. They can be older children as well. You don't just have to pick on the youngest one in the room. An older child can come out too. Grand. Brilliant. Thank you. Right, I have some... Well, we just lay it here so you don't have to bend down on the ground. Right, you guys aren't off the hook though. I need you to vote... And then we'll test. Bit of scientific experimentation here. So I've got some items here. I need you to tell me whether they'll float or they'll sink. You manage that? Well, we have a first shot. Right. So a bit of Lego. Do you think this will float or sink? Hands up if you think it will float. Hands up if you think it will sink. Do you want to test it for me and then... tell everyone the outcome. What's it done? It's floated. So all those that said it would sink, that's one point to the ones that said it would float. Right. But it might be that it's just the wrong shape of Lego, and a different shape might sink instead, yeah? Anyone changing their minds? Different shape of Lego? Possibilities might be there? No? Do you want to see what happens this time? No. Shape doesn't affect it. It still floats. But here's a harder one. Right? Plastic spoon or a metal spoon? Anyone think the metal spoon will float? No? I'm assuming then everyone thinks the metal spoon will sink. Yeah? Do you want to try? Even delicately placed, it had no chance. What about the plastic spoon though? Let's have a show of hands. Plastic spoon float? Sink? Not sure? I'm on my own then. Right, see what happens here. Oh. It sank. Yep. Okay. How about this then? Just a flat piece of kitchen foil. Sink or float? Float, okay. Let's see what happens. Yep. Any thoughts now? Sink. Let's see what goes. No, it may have changed shape, but it still floats. Right. Here's a test now. A paperclip. You can pick any paperclip out of this box. Just anyone. Okay, that one. Right. Do you think this paperclip will sink or float? Sink. Well, I do it. Okay. So the paperclip was picked at random. I have not doctored or tampered with this paperclip. Hands up if you think it will sink. Without me doing anything, hands up if you think it will sink. Float. Let's see. What is the paperclip doing? It's floating. Is it floating with anything underneath it holding it on the surface? So the bit of paper that I put in, that's right at the bottom, isn't it? Not touching the paperclip. You're going. I'm not a scientist. It's something to do with water surface tension in different parts. But the paperclip is floating. Yeah, thank you both very much for your help. This morning, our gospel reading is from Matthew's gospel. And John has just been beheaded. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 on the mountainside. He's gone up to pray and he's told his disciples, get in the boat and cross to the other side. And there's a big storm swells up. And all of a sudden, this figure in the fourth watch, in the early hours of the morning, appears and comes towards them. And the disciples initially think it's a ghost until Jesus himself speaks and says, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And we all know what happens next. Peter gets a bit confident and says, you know what, if it is you, then let me walk in the water to you also. And he gets out the boat and walks towards Jesus. Suddenly he realizes the storm all around and starts to sink. And Jesus helps him back in the boat. But the bit of fun this morning with the different items is a challenge to each one of us. Are we a floater or are we a sinker? Are our eyes fixed on Jesus, even when the storms are around about us in life? Or do we get distracted by those storms, take our eyes off Jesus and start to sink. Who are you? A floater or a sinker? All of us, at times in our lives, will be both. There'll be times when life is just too much and we do take our eyes off Jesus and we do start to sink. But my prayer is that those times are less than the times when we hold and we know his faithfulness and we walk with him. Let's sing together. Well, let's pray before we sing. And then we'll sing together what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. And help each one of us to fix our eyes on you more and more in our lives, so that the storms and the things of life round about us will buffer us less. But Lord, forgive us when we do take our eyes off you, when we do feel that we're strong enough to cope on our own. But we thank you, whether our eyes are on you or not, you are with us, carrying and supporting and helping us through all that life brings. Help each one of us to know the friend that we have in you and all that you have done for each and every one of us through your death on the cross and your resurrection and ascension. So, Lord, help each one of us to walk with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand if we're able and sing together what a friend we have in Jesus. For the Lord's work shall now be uplifted as we give and receive for his kingdom come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all the gifts that you've given to each and every one of us. And as we return back to you a small proportion of all that you have given us, Lord, we ask your blessing on it. And your blessing on those who have responsibility for the administration of it. Lord, may they use it wisely to grow your kingdom and let others know the good news of all that you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for this world, rose again defeating death, and is with us now at your right hand side, but also through your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on these gifts. Lord, you call us not only to pray for ourselves, but also to pray for others. And Lord, as we send these gifts to your glory and to your use, we pray also for the world that we live in, a world that so desperately needs to know your light and your goodness, a world that is so full of darkness at this time, and we pray for those places where there is conflict and war, where there is famine and drought, where there is too much water, where there is not enough food. Lord, we pray that you would be in the midst there. We pray with those who take your light into those places. For those both indigenous and the missionaries, as they carry your good news into those places of despair. May folk come to know your hope. And Lord, we pray too for the things that we read in the newspapers at this time. We pray for the tragedies of the gun massacres in America. We pray for our political system within the United Kingdom. Lord, we pray for wisdom and guidance, your wisdom and guidance to be the dominating factor in all that is going on in our land at this moment. And we pray for those leading our nation in Westminster and in Holyrood. May they seek your will, and may your will be done. Lord, we pray too for this parish. We pray too for all who live within its bounds, and particularly for those at this time who are housebound or unable to be here this morning through illness, or who are enjoying the last bit of summer on holiday. Lord, in the silence now, we bring those people before you and we name them in the silence. Lord, be with those who are housebound. May they feel part of your fellowship here. Lord, be with those who are ill. May they know that you are the great physician, the healer and the restorer. And Lord, for your glory, may you heal them now as you will in the life to come. And Lord, for those on holiday, may they come back renewed and refreshed and ready to serve you once again in this place. But Lord, we remember also those who have lost loved ones in recent days. And in the silence now, we name them too before you. Lord, be with those families who have lost a loved one. Help them to know the hope that comes through you and you alone. Help them to know your love. Help them to know that you're carrying them in this time when they don't have the energy or strength to walk themselves. And Lord, may you in time lift them from the grief and the mourning to a better place. And Lord, be with each one of us. Help each one of us, Lord, to walk more and more with you day by day, so that our relationship with you may grow and deepen, and our love for you may overflow in all that we do, so that others may come to know you too. So, Lord, hear our prayers we ask. In the name of your Son and for his sake. Amen. We're going to sing again before our readings. And so please stand if you're able as we sing together, "Only by Grace Can We Enter."
Reading comes from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 4, reading from the New International Version. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, when he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36, reading from the New International Version. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking in the lake. When the disciples saw him walking in the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy living word. We need to sing again before we open up these passages a bit more this morning. Let's stand, if we're able, and sing together, "Jesus, Be the Center." Father God, help each one of us to have you at the center of our lives. And as we open up your word this morning, help each one of us to hear your word and to open up our hearts and our souls and our minds to receive it. But most of all, Lord, prepare our feet to go from here, unable to do anything else than to share the good news of all that you are doing with those whom we meet. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you have been on the top of Ben Nevis in your lives. Anyone? One, two. Okay. Well, let me paint a picture for you of the top of Ben Nevis. In good weather, it's brilliant. You can see for miles, and you can see where the danger zones are in this boulder field. You can see the big gullies of Five Finger and the North Face and so on. In the snow, it becomes a wee bit more tricky because the gullies kind of shrink a bit and the cornices come out. And if you fall through, you've got about 1,000 feet before you hit something. In the mist, it's equally so, because the greyness of the rock on the top blends with that lovely grey mist that we have no experience of in Scotland because it doesn't happen often. And therefore the gullies become a bit of a challenge also. And I want to tell you a story of a man that fell in one of those gullies, and he managed to hold onto a ledge partway down. And he cried out, "Help me." And this voice came back after he'd cried out a few times. He cried out, "Help me." He cried out, "Save me. Is there anybody about? Is there anybody up there?" And eventually this voice came back and answered him and said, "I'm the Lord. I can save you. Do you believe in me? And do you really believe in me and want me to help you?" And the guy, still hanging onto this ledge, turns around and says, "Oh Lord, yes, I believe in you more than you will ever know." "Okay," said the Lord. "I'll save you. All I want you to do is let go." And the man turned around, "Is there anyone else up there?" We laugh. But do we laugh out of nervousness because we can hear our own voice crying out the same things at times? "Lord, yeah, I know I asked you. I know I prayed to you. I know I said, tell me what you want me to do. But I don't want to do what you've come back with. So just tell me again until I hear the things that you want me to, I want you to tell me and I want to hear." Yeah? How many of us can relate to that? "Lord, just keep speaking until the bit that resonates with what I want you to say to me rather than what the Lord wants to say to us." That laugh, I would suggest, was a nervous laugh when we hear ourselves in that situation and we keep crying out until God responds with what we want him to respond with. We want God's help, don't we? But often we want it on our terms. When he doesn't give us what we want, we keep going or we go off and we do something else. But it's amazing the number of times he brings us back round and says, "Okay, you've had your wander. It's now my time to set you on the path that I want you to take." I got a sense of call to ministry in 1998 when I worked at Compass in Glenshee. In 2002, I sat with a good friend on the second week of my honeymoon, and Jim Jack and Dunningston Kirk turned around and said, "Stop procrastinating." Because I said, "I'm not sure of this ministry thing. I'm thinking about auxiliary." And then in 2004, I started training and went through training at New College. Got that sense of, "Yeah, Lord, I think you're calling me to the military, but I'm not too sure." And so I went and did 8 years in the parish and eventually ran out of excuses. And 3 years ago, came into the military as a chaplain and haven't looked back. But none of that was wasted. The experiences in the parish have helped me so much in what I'm doing now. Sadly, on Friday, I had the funeral of a soldier who took his own life. Unfortunately, I had done one 7 times before in the parish, and therefore had been prepared for that circumstance. The disciples had been on that hillside with Jesus, had seen him feed the 5,000, despite the fact of them saying, "Where are you going to get all that food? Where are you going to get those loaves? Where are you going to get food?" And them coming back with those loaves and those fishes, and Jesus feeding them all. They had just heard of John the Baptist being beheaded earlier in Matthew's gospel. And now they're being sent away in this boat while Jesus is left behind and goes up onto the hillside to pray. As we unpack our reading this morning from Matthew's gospel, I want us to think about 3 things. I want us to think about that concept of crossing. I want us to think about the craft, the vessel those disciples were in. And finally, I want to think about courage. What does courage look like? But let's start with that crossing. There's 12 disciples starting the day on a hillside with a big group gathering around, and Jesus saying, feed them. And the people are fed. And then Jesus says to them, get into that boat, go across the lake and onto the other side, and I'll meet you there. And so the disciples follow Jesus' instruction. They get into that boat and they set off across the lake. But as they were crossing that lake, there's a whole lot of things going on, isn't there? Jesus has moved from the busyness of that crowd around about him to the solitude of the hillside in prayer. He's taken that journey and he's moved from being active among the people to just having that space with his Father. He's crossed over from busyness to quiet. The disciples have crossed over from being in the midst of that crowd, listening to the words of their master, and then having space in that boat to reflect. Reflect on what had just happened that day. What had they just witnessed? Because they had just witnessed something that to them was absolutely impossible. How can we feed 5,000 people on a hillside with no shop? And even if we did have a shop, it would cost a fortune, and the shop wouldn't be big enough to supply all the food that we need to feed that many. And yet the people were fed, and none were hungry. The disciples had crossed over from that busyness to that time where they could stop and reflect as they sat in that boat. But also they had moved from the one side of the lake heading towards the other. They were on that journey of crossing over from one side to another. That journey that Christ would also make, because he said to them, I'll see you on the other side. A few would have probably thought, yeah, we will. Others would have thought, how's he going to get there? But Christ was also to make that journey from one side of the lake to the other. But as that crossing of the lake was taking place, we read of the waves coming up and the boat being buffeted by them, and the disciples starting to get a bit uncomfortable. The weather was coming in. But you know what? The disciples were sitting in a boat that they would have known what it was capable of. It wouldn't have been the first time they had sat in a boat crossing the lake. Many of them were fishermen, as we know. This was second nature to them. But for some reason on this day, the storm and the waves and the wind and the weather system round about them pushed them to the edge of their comfort zone. This was not a crossing like any other crossing they had done before. This was different. I remember being on stag at Sandhurst on sentry duty in the nights, and every 2 hours we would get woken up and we'd be on for 2 hours. And when you're in that sleep-deprived position, strange things start to happen. I was convinced there was a platoon of men just the other side of the track forming up ready to attack our harbour. I was convinced. In the morning when the light came up, it was a rhododendron bush. One of my colleagues at the other end of the harbour had managed to speak to one of the directing staff and say, can you go over and get rid of that photographer? He's taking lots of photos of us. Can you just remove him? And so the directing staff member went over to this bush where there was no photographer and there were no photos being taken. God help us all, that man's a doctor who was seeing a photographer. But sleep deprivation, tiredness, that sense of being somewhere where you knew you were going to be ambushed but you had no idea when, because the directing staff were like that. You went into hypersensitivity. Your mind just went away to all these strange shapes and you started imagining that attack that never came, thankfully. And we got 2 hours uninterrupted sleep every 2 hours. But here was the disciples in a boat with a storm bigger than they had ever experienced, uncertain and unsure of that capacity and the ability of that boat and their skills within it, being buffeted around. And it's no surprise that they see coming towards them through those wind, that wind and those waves, a figure. And it's no surprise that they start by saying there's a ghost. But yet, as that figure comes nearer, as that figure crosses the water towards them, it's only when Jesus speaks that they recognize that this is not a ghost, but this is Jesus Christ. This is the one that they've been walking with. This is the one who has fed the 5,000. This is the one that had gone up to pray to his Father. This was the one who was coming towards them, crossing that water towards them as he walked on the water. And when he spoke, they recognized. And when he spoke, he said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." As Christians, what crossing have we made in our lives? Have we moved from the darkness of this world into the light of Christ? Have we moved, as Paul describes it, from death into the Spirit of life? From that emptiness of things round about us into the hope of Christ? Where are we on that crossing with Christ? Is he still distant off and just a figure that we struggle with? Or have we heard his voice and we know who he is and we're walking with him? Where are we on that crossing? But secondly, what are we in as we cross and we walk with him? The disciples left Jesus, and they were in a boat, as I've already said, that they would be familiar with. A boat that they had been in many, many times, or a style that they would have been in many times. It was familiar to them. They knew the arcs. They knew how that boat handled. They knew its capability, because it'd be very similar to others that they used themselves. And they knew how to handle it in normal conditions. They knew how to handle it in normal storms. But for some reason, this particular day, the storm was one that was just too much for them. One of the privileges of not having a garrison church is that I get a pulpit supply in lots of bizarre and strange places, which is lovely. But the number of times you look up at the roof of a church, and many of our church roofs are shaped and built as an upside-down hull of a boat. Anyone noticed that before? It's not, may well be behind the plaster here, but a lot of the churches are upside-down hulls and built in similar ways to the old wooden hull of a ship. But how many of us are comfortable in the craft that we are walking with Jesus in? How many of us are comfortable with the buildings that we are in? How many of us are too comfortable? How many of us are fearful when there are storms around, be it in our parish or a presbytery or the church nationally at the moment when they're talking about radical action plans through the General Assembly? How many of us are just starting to be similar to those disciples, similar to them in the sense of being fearful of what might lie ahead, fearful of that storm, fearful of, is the place where we are comfortable going to be affected by that storm? The disciples were terrified. They were fearing for their lives. They were uncertain of what their future was going to be because they had never experienced a circumstance like it. They were safe in that boat in normal conditions. They knew how it handled. But when things just got too much, it became just a bit more uncomfortable. And it can be like that at church at the moment, especially with all that's going on nationally. And I've got that privilege of kind of being in still as an ordained Church of Scotland minister, whatever the Act on Registration of Ministers says about us, that we're not proper ministers. But I also have that privilege of being able to look in because I'm not in a normal parish. And I can see the buffeting and the storms and the wild wind coming up around and the uncertainty and the nervousness of what does the future hold? the disciples were in that same place. What did their future hold in the middle of a lake with the storms round and about them? And as Jesus came closer, his opening words were, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. He could have said anything he wanted to as his opening words to those disciples that day. But he turned round to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." When you feel that this craft is operating outside of its comfort zone, outside of the place that you know and you're safe with, remember Christ's words. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And so what about that courage? How do we respond to that courage? For Peter, there was that confidence, wasn't there? "Come on, Jesus, if this is you, then tell me to get out of this boat and walk towards you. If it really is you, then I want you to prove that what you're doing, you can help me to do also." And Jesus said exactly the same word as he said when he called all those individual disciples to him. When he called each one of us, he simply said, "Come, come, come, follow me." And to Peter, as he stood up in that boat and got ready to step out, Jesus said, "Come." Nothing fancy, but a really tough word, isn't it? And Jesus says, "Come, come, follow me." And so Peter came, didn't he? He stepped up, he got out of that boat, and he started to walk to Jesus. He was so focused on looking at Jesus that all those distractions to his left and his right just disappeared. And he kept his eyes on Jesus, kept that focus. But all of a sudden started to realize that the wind was still there, the waves were still billowing around, and the pressures all around him became too much. And his eyes started to drop from Jesus, started to look left and right, started to see that on his arcs, things were a bit different from the focus of Jesus. And he cried out, didn't he? He cried out and he started to sink. And he started to go under. And Jesus reached out his hand and brought him to safety. What courage do we have? Is our courage such that when we get the answer we don't like, we say, "Is there anyone else up there?" Or do we have the courage to say, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you're wanting me to do, I'll get out of my comfortable craft that I know how it operates, and I will come to you, and I will follow you, and I will keep my eyes focused on you." What courage do we have? When Peter started to sink, notice Jesus' words. He said, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" Now, when we look back through our lives, we can resonate with those words, can't we? "Yeah, Lord, you want me to go on tour? You want me to go where those indirect fires and those mortars are coming in? Surely, Lord, you really are talking about someone else. You want me to go down to Salisbury Plain for 3 weeks in the clay and the chalk of Salisbury Plain? You want me to sleep on the ground and you want me to eat ration packs? Lord, surely there's another padre that can do that. Okay, Lord, yeah, it is me that you're..." There are times when we have little faith, isn't there? It's part of who we are, because there's times we think, "Lord, we don't need you. We can do this on our own." There are times when we doubt. We say, "Lord, if you're really here, then prove it to me." What courage do we have to know that Christ is in control, to take that step out of the craft, to cross and to keep walking, and to keep walking with the Lord into that unknown, into that danger zone, into that place that we've never been before, into that place that just seems to be overwhelming for us. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we know from Peter that there's no sinking, that we are going to walk, we are going to float, we are going to survive. It's when we remove our eyes from Jesus that things start to go upside down. And so this morning, how far are you on that crossing? Are you allowing Christ to walk ahead as you make that crossing? Are you prepared to get out of the craft, out of the comfort zone? And despite the storm round about, are you prepared to keep focusing on Christ? Remember his words. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, help each one of us to have the courage to continue to cross with you, to continue to walk with you. And Lord, help each one of us to have the courage to get out of our comfort zone, out of the craft that we're in, be it this building, be it our homes, be it wherever, to walk with you and to know that as long as our eyes are fixed on you, we have nothing to fear. Help each one of us to hold on to your voice. That voice that says, take courage, it is I, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And Lord, help us to do that as we go from here into the world and all that it holds, all the storms that are round about us. Help us to know with you the path is okay. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn this morning, In Christ Alone. Thank you. Lord, as we go from here. Help each one of us to continue to stand in you and to keep our eyes focused on you. Help each other one of us to have that courage to get out of the craft and to cross with you and walk in that light, in that hope that you have created through your Son's death and resurrection. In your name we pray. And all the people say, Amen.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonder he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the peace of